You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to day five of the Galway Festival. My name is Mark Walton and joining me on the line once again is William Hill Radio's Irish Racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Very well, mate. Yeah, very well. Yourself?
Yeah, very well indeed. On to day five of the Galway Festival and still going strong.
Yeah, still 3 days to go. I'll be absolutely gutty when he finishes. I can't remember the last time I enjoyed a meeting so much as this. Yeah, I mean, Goodwood's been taking place, but if anyone's winning there, then they're doing well. I haven't heard any sort of great cries of people winning a fortune at the Sussex venue, but yeah, Galway seems to have been totally opposite, considering it's a very, very difficult track, and you'd imagine trouble in running would be aplenty. But to be honest, I don't think there's been that many hard luck stories.
No, it all seems to be going to plan. You're doing pretty well over the meeting so far, Andy, and another good day yesterday.
Yeah, not bad at all. Yeah, I was pleased that Bogwell won. He's a horse I've always been able to make a few quid out of. He's just been a lucky horse for me over the years, and he's in really good form at the moment. And yeah, I'm annoyed that I didn't put up Sandy Mount Duke, to be honest. That was the one that got away yesterday. I went for another each-way horse because I thought Gangster was a bit short. And Jessica Hamilton's also in great form. She had another two winners yesterday. And as we saw as well, Henry de Bromhead's also in great nick as well. So a lot of trainers that are in good nick are rather overtaking and overshadowing Dermot Weld, who's actually only had three winners. And he's might, for the first time in 28 years, not win the trainer's title. I think that current tally's been held by Willie Mullins with five. So he needs to get his skates on.
It's been a quiet one, hasn't it, for Dermot Weld. Just a quick look back at the big race on Thursday as well, Andy. Went the way of a well-backed Tony Martin running the shape of Quick Jack, and he's a good performer, isn't he? He seems to always step up to the challenge.
Yeah, he's a brilliant horse, yeah, and he was obviously on the shortlist. I went for Marcus Marconi in the end at the big price, and we nicked a few quid out of him finishing fifth, so that wasn't a bad result, but it was a strongly run event. It looked a classy riddle. Other than Thomas Edison falling at the last when he was in with every chance, I don't think there was an unlucky horse in the race. It seemed to be quite cleanly run. And the way that Quick Jack quickened up smartly suggests that he could still take a hand in some decent handicaps, or maybe even push towards, graded status. Obviously, you know, the top end division of the champion hurdle is very strong with the likes of Forheen, etc. But, you know, he's going to be rated in the 140s now. And, you know, if he wins a great wood hurdle, I'm obviously thinking ahead and thinking what connections are looking at doing. They've mentioned the great wood hurdle as a possibility. You know, stranger things are happening. You know, if he could be like a 50-1 poke at this stage for the champion hurdle. But he's a good horse. The stronger and the better the race, the better he seems to go. So it'd be interesting following his progression from here on in.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that, but let's focus on matters a little closer to hand. Friday's action in Galway, the first race this evening, is the 5.10, and we start here with a handicap hurdle over 2 miles, and Riviera Sun is the 6-1 market leader. It's 7-1 for Tandem. Tempo Mac is also 7s. It's 8-1 having been 10s for Bank Bonus, 10-1 for Rupert Lamb and To Choose, and 12-1 or bigger prices for the others. A wide open start to the card, Andy. Who would you side with in there?
Yeah, it is a wide open race, but it's one of those races where the ball just seems to come onto the bat to me here. I haven't kind of tried to overcomplicate it. You know, I've followed these horses, you know, for the last year or so, so I've got a fair understanding of what level they're at the moment. And I desperately want to stay on the right side of Tempo Mac. He's just a horse in unbelievable nick at the moment. Gordon Elliott hasn't had the best of luck here this week. He's had one or two horses that have put up bold shows and finishing the money, but I think to my recollection he's yet to have a winner, but that might well change here tonight. He's just in scintillating form, as I said, this five-year-old. He got beat three starts ago by Lily the Lioness, who I thought at the time was a bit of a fluky result because Tempo Max gone on to win twice subsequently. But as we saw the other day, Lily the Lioness is in a fantastic rich round of form herself. Of course, won at Galway the other day. And then Tempo Max went to that valuable race down in Belliustown the next time, and he landed a really big pop for Connections, beating Rornach and Rupert Lamb quite comfortably in the hands of Jack Kennedy. And went to a race the other day at Carmel when it was a Lady Riders event, and despite jumping absolutely horrifically, he still managed to win by eight lengths pulling a cart. He's a bit of a scruffy jumper, this horse. Not for the first time that he's took a few hurdles on the way around for a souvenir. He didn't really jump that well at Belliustown, but he seems to have had an amazing engine. And with Carberry back on board, it wouldn't really bother me that he's off a mark now, £7 higher than that Cartmel win. He's well clear of my speed figures at the moment. And around about 7 or 8 to 1 this morning, looks a really good each-way bet. And bearing in mind that Jessica Harrington's horse is in good form as well, this race can't go without mentioning Gambling Girl from the Harrington stable. I think she's had 3 winners this week, Jessie, and virtually every one of her horses have run an absolute blinder. And it's really intriguing to me that this previous Grade 3 winning hurdler had a little spin round Killarney the day in one of those conditions of flat races behind the Cheltenham Festival bumper winner of 2 years ago, Silver Concord. And he got beat a length on that occasion. That was its first run for quite a while. So that would have just blown away the cobwebs. Has got form around here, albeit a well-beaten horse in the Quick Jack race, the amateur rider race, a year or so ago. So that's a sneaky one for me, Gambling Girl. So I'm going to play the two against the field. Tempo back would easily be my number one choice, but I think it's worth risking a few quid that Jessica Harrington's got Gambling Girl tuned up to the max.
Okay, a couple of options in the 5.10 then. The 5.45 is the second race on the card. This one is a median auction maiden over 7 furlongs. An even money favourite in the shape of Palmetto Dunes for Dermot Weld and Pat Smullen. Proof of the point is 6-1, 9-1 for Mr. Michael. Whiskey Sour, another one at 9s. 10s for Zigzag and Verbosity. And 14-1 are bigger prices for the others. But Jefferson Davis was 20s and now 14. So maybe a bit of a move on that one. How do you see it going, Andy, the 5.45?
Yeah, as I said, Dermot Weld hasn't had a particularly good week by his standards. I think most trainers would be settling for 3, but not for the Master of Wales. Well, that's been a pretty dull return. But there's every chance that Palmetto Dunes might put the record straight here. It's set of half a decent day for the Master of Ballybrit. Was a real light catcher first time out in a very good race at Leopardstown. Now, the two horses he chased home that day are definitely graded performers. Sanus Paraquin, although he got beat the other day, certainly came out of the race with great credit, and he looks a really nice horse from the Bulger camp. Port Douglas had won really easily over the course and distance the time before, and he was only just on the coattails of those two horses despite a very slow beginning. He was last turning into the home straight, and he actually didn't lose any further ground, which is a good point I'm trying to make here. Although he got beat 4¾ lengths and 3½ lengths, he was around about that far back as he turned in, so he's kept up with those two top quality colts. So I think it was a good effort first time up. There doesn't appear to be a great strength in depth in this maiden. I think Prove the Point and maybe Whiskey Sour are worth looking at from an each-way perspective. Michael Mulvaney's filly by Arakan, Prove the Point, has been dealing with some decent fillies on her first two starts. She ran, of course, in the Silver Flash Stakes the other day, such was the esteem that Connections hold her in. And she didn't run too badly at all. Certainly wasn't disgraced in finishing sixth behind the very impressive winner, Tanaza. And she was keeping on quite well at the finish. I think with her experience in that kind of race, she should be there or thereabouts. And I like the run, as I said, of Whiskey Sour first time out at Fairy House. I think he'll improve in leaps and bounds as the season progresses. But on this occasion, I'm going to go with the favourite. I do like that run of Palmetto Dunes first time out. He's been teed up for a race of this nature, and he's got a reasonable draw in the middle of the pack. So hopefully Dermot Weld can get back on the winning track.
Okay, on to the 6.15 next. This is the third race on the card, and this is a handicap chase over 2¾ miles. And our traders look as if they're worried if Astor Peak gets in the race, because they've put the reserve in as the 6-1 favourite. Devil's Bride is 8-1, 9-1 for Usual Smurfer, who's been trimmed from 12s. It's 10-1 for Urano and Never Complain. Speckledwood another at 10s, and 11-1 or bigger prices for the others. As the betting suggests there, Andy, another open contest at Galway this evening. Who do you side with in there?
Yeah, well, I won't be siding with Asda Peak. He's got absolutely not a cat in hell chance of getting in this race, being the third reserve. I mean, I was waiting for Modem to get in yesterday in the Galway hurdle. Space is very much at a premium here at Galway. All the owners and trainers definitely want to run, and there's you're just a million if you're a reserve. You need an act of God really for something to drop out. So as the peak won't be lining up, so we're left with a field of 20 to deal with here. And again, a race that I'm not going to really overcomplicate here. There's just two horses that stand out for me on their recent form and on their speed figures as well. And the number one choice is Never Complain from the Henry de Bromhead camp. What a week Henry's had. Of course, he had the big plate winner. He's also had two other subsequent winners as well. Winners to coincide. And there's every chance that this Never Complain can follow suit. He's been running extraordinarily well in the summer jumping period. He won in a very fast time down in Tipperary on the 17th of April. Then he was given 2 months off. And I think connections were half eyeing up maybe a tilt at the Galway Plate if they could win that Galway Plate trial down in Downroll. Unfortunately, that didn't quite materialise, but it was still a fantastic run by Henry de Bromhead's seven-year-old to finish second to Elegant Statesman, again in another extraordinarily fast time. That was a tremendously competitive race for the money. If you look at the horses that were in behind, the likes of Mr. 51, Rattling, Band of Blood, Mr. Hotelier, Real Moore, Size and Solution was in that race. And of course, he ran on to run a really good race down in Killarney the other night. So I think that's red-hot form, that. The time of the race, as I said, was really good. And he's got enough a mark of 122 here. So despite missing the Galway play, he's definitely got compensation very much rubber-stamped on his CV there. And the other one to mention is Ronan's Pride as well, who's a real bold, jumping, prominent racing, informed 9-year-old who got beat in the Midlands National the other day. Again, one of the toughest and strongly run races of its kind throughout the summer jumping period. It didn't come much tougher than that. All the best three-mile chasers that were flying around Kilbeggan were in that race. And Ronan's Pride managed to finish second after forcing the issue, only just to sort of taper off his challenge in the latter stages. But prior to that, he jumped really boldly to win down in Ballinrobe, again in a very fast time. And I'm sure with his style of running, he's going to be up with the pace and prove very difficult to shake off when the chips are out coming up the hill. So two against the field there. The very much in-form horse from the in-form stable, Never Complain, and also Rowan's Pride.
Couple against the field for Andy then in the 6.15. The 6.50 is the Guinness Handicap or Premier Handicap over a mile and a half. Klondike Warrior is the 9-2 favourite. 7-1 for Showcourt. 15-2 for Golden Spear. Artful Artist is 8. Kalini Alan is 9-1. 10s for Shadigan and 12s or bigger for the others. We'll start with the market leader here, Andy, Klondike Warrior, who was being aimed at a tilt at the Galway hurdle but missed the cut. But he's been fantastic on the flat, even got a Royal Ascot win next to his name. And Jack Kennedy, who's one of the best apprentices around at the moment, his claim obviously helps. So intriguing at the top of the market there.
Yeah, he's a special horse, this Condor Warrior. I still think he's got more to come, you know. He could easily make up into a pattern race performer. And we'll see whether that theory is very much put to the test here tonight. He won, of course, the Ascot Stakes at Royal Ascot. And now many would look at that and think, well, if you're running over 2.4 miles, you're dropping back a whole mile here. Can you have you got the speed to cope with it? Well, what you've got to remember in that Ascot Stakes is that, for me, they never, ever go quickly in it. It's a bit of a dawdle in the first part of the race, and you do need a good turn of foot at the back end of it. And that's exactly what Klondike Warrior did. And the grand that he made, it was quite sensational in the hands of Ryan Moore. It was a fantastic effort. He's really sprinted down the home straight, so he's definitely got a smart turn of foot. He also showed that when he won the November Handicap at Leopardstown last year over 1.7 miles. And, of course, he's a previous course and distance winner. And I think connections have obviously had a race of this nature, all races, at Galway on their mind. Obviously, they didn't get into the Galway hurdle, as you quite rightly mentioned. I think he would have been a serious player in that had he got in. But the fact that no stone has left being unturned here by Willie Mullins, the fact that he's got Jack Kennedy on board as well to take 7 off, that certainly looks a bit of a shrewd investment by the master trainer. So despite one or two maybe having reservations about him dropping down in trip, I haven't got any whatsoever, and he's got a nice low draw as well. So the combination of all those factors make Klondike Warrior the best bet on the card.
Best bet on the card then for Andy there then, Klondike Warrior in the 6.50. The 7.25 is the fifth race on the card. This one is a maiden over a mile and a half, and the betting is headed by Pictogram, who's 7-4, but on the slide from 6-4 this morning. Van Schaik is 3-1, 9-2 from 11-2 for Nova, 5-1 for Algazil, and 12s and double figure prices for the others. Who'd you like in there, Andy?
Well, the bookmakers and the punters don't like Pictogram, do they? Very, very easy to back. Been put in a tentative short prize this morning, but nobody wants to know it. And I've got a funny feeling it could get beat here. The fact that the next three in the betting have all been heavily punted. So I think there's a lot of shrewd faces out there trying to snaffle up the value on the others as Pictogram continues to drift. I can certainly see why many would want to get with Van Stick. He ran in a good race on the figures down in Roscommon the other day. It was a race, to be fair, that he should have took because he had the advantage again in a lovely smooth run around the first bend when Monolight, the second favourite, was shoved out wide as a horse drifted off the rail. Unfortunately, he didn't take advantage of that, and Connections have slapped the blinkers on just to try and perhaps get him to concentrate a little bit more. The yard's in great form, Jer Lyon, so he's got to be a major factor. As has Nova as well. There's been good money for this colt. He's run a couple of nice races on his first two starts, down in Down Royal and Bellystown respectively. And he looks as though a stiff track will definitely bring out the best in him. But I'm going to go with Agazil here from the John Murphy stable, roughly around about a 5-1 this morning. I reckon that's a decent each-way bet. He just got nutted by the very classy older horse of the day, Western Boy, down in Killarney. But the time of the race is good. He'd also run well beyond Bantry Bay at the Curra previously. I think a mile and a half actually could end up being his right trip. He's run over a mile and a quarter, a mile six. They've actually bypassed the mile and a half route. And I just like him. I think he's really tough. He's a strong stayer. And those kind of animals often do well around this stiff track. So Agazil, round about 5-1 this morning. Looks a decent each-way bet, and that's 7.25.
Each way selection there then for Andy. The 8 o'clock is the penultimate race in Galway this evening. This is another handicap. This one's over a mile and a half a furlong. And Tudor City is the 9-4 favourite. 5-1 from Sevens for Easy Boy. 6-1 for Plain Talking. Sevens for D-Deer. 14-1 for a whole host of others. Jeremy's Joy, Saki's Jack, Best Kept Secret and Sea of Blue, all 14s. 16s or bigger for the others. Again, Andy, quite an open handicap, but looks like the traders are taking no chance on Tudor City, who hasn't really shown too much recently, but 9-4 at the top of the market for the inform Tony Martin.
Yeah, this one's a real bizarre one, isn't it? For many punters looking at this, you'd almost be asked to be carried off in a straitjacket if you're thinking about taking 2-1 about Tudor City. Let's look at the facts. He's run 5 times. He's run against 63 horses, and he's only beaten 9. He's finished 11th of 11, 10th of 10, 11th of 12, 13th of 16, and last time out, first time in a handicap, he was well beaten. Down in Killarney. So what makes him be a 2-1 favourite here? Well, you probably have to look at that video back several times and look at the ride that Fran Berry gave him and suggest to yourself, well, maybe he wasn't put under maximum pressure. He's also got the tongue tie on. He's got a very good draw. And, of course, he's trained by the genius Tony Martin in the Neslin colours, of course, who was victorious yesterday with Quick Jack. So there are probably one or two more positives to his overall profile than would normally meet the eye. So he's certainly very dangerous here. There's no way I'm going to write him off because it is a weak race and a horse like him could easily improve. It's just 2-1 doesn't make any kind of appeal to me. I thought he might have been slightly bigger than that. That said, all these main market rivals are drawn out in the car park here. Easy Boy drawn 11, Deer drawn 17, Plain Talking drawn 12, and they were also ahead of him in that Killarney race. I think that race could actually be the key to this contest. I really would have fancied Deer, this filly by Holy Roman Emperor, from a stable that's had 2 winners here this week. They've had 2 runners, 2 winners. Sheena Lavery's obviously got her horse in great nick, and they booked Pat Smullen as well, but stall 17 could be a slight issue. If I was going to have a bet in the race, I'd probably stick with Deer, but that stall position just puts me off getting stuck in on a very heavy scale.
Okay, and on to the final race of the night. We finish here with the 8:30, and this is a race for 4-year-olds and older that have not won more than one race since July the 1st, 2014. It's over a mile and three quarters, and Good Tradition heads the market at 6-5. Money for Dark Crusader, though, who's 100-30 into 5-2. 9-2 for Certorak. Chapter 7, 13-2, and 14s or bigger for the others. Another uneasy favourite, really, in the shape of Good Tradition, who's 11-10 out to 6-5. Andy, another Dermot-Weld one that's a bit weak at the top of the market.
Yeah, I actually fancy this one quite strongly here, Good Tradition. I'm going to go against the market vibes and put him up and suggest that he could be decent value actually now, considering it's a race that Dermot Weld dominated in recent times. He's won this race 4 times in the last 5 years, including last year, of course, in the same colours as Good Tradition. That was obviously Forgotten Rule. So Connections have clearly teed up this horse, who's very lightly raced. He's only had 3 runs in his life. He's obviously a little bit fragile, but when we've seen him on the track, then he's done nothing more than good. He was really good down in Killarney the last time we saw him when he beat a horse actually I rate quite highly, a horse called Never Rush a Con. And back in third was Tigris River as well, giving that race a little bit of substance. He'd beaten 2 horses the previous year who were of a very decent standard, Falkirk and Fog of War. So You know, although he's been very scarce when he's come onto the racetrack, what he has done has been nothing other than have a positive vein. I think there's more to come from him as well. He definitely looks a Group 4 horse in waiting. His main danger looks to be the Tony Martin trained Dark Crusader, who ran really well in a fillies and mares race at Haydock last time out, the Lancashire Oaks, and she did probably a little bit better than the market price suggested. She's just been in the wilderness for quite a while. Don't forget she hasn't won for two seasons, and I just think that she was on fire perhaps then and maybe isn't so much now, but Tony Martin is getting her back to somewhere like her best, and obviously the stable now are in a little bit better form than they were early on in the week. So I can see why there's money for him, but I'm not sure whether she's going to be good enough to cope with Good Tradition and look the part in a decent race at Carlisle last time.
Good Tradition then for Andy in the lucky last. Let's have a quick summary, Andy, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, once again, fairly confident of having a few winners here tonight at Galway. I'll start off by nominating a couple against the field in the first, Gambling Girl and the Informed Tempo Mac. I'll be quite strong on the Dermot Well-trained Palmetto Dunes in the 5.45. In the 6.15, two very fast speed figure horses who've been in good form of late, I should think will do us proud in the shape of Ronan's Pride and Never Complain in the Galway Blazers. Nap of the night is Clondor Warrior in the 6.50. Don't be put off by the fact that he's dropping back to 1.5 miles. He'd certainly have enough pace to cope with that examination. In the 7.25, I'd be tossing the coin between Aguzil and Van Stick there as the horse to take on with Pictogram, but at the prices I'll go with John Murphy's Aguzil. In the 8 o'clock, not a great opinion here. Wouldn't surprise me if Tudor City was to win for the Breslin-Martin combination, but I'll go with Dear Dear despite the tragic draw in Trap 17. And in the final race, hopefully Dermot Well can turn things around with another winner here tonight in the shape of Good Tradition.
Superb. Thank you very much, Andy. Good luck and enjoy Friday evening's action in Galway.
Cheers, mate.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.